The Wealth Professional Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the Wealth Professional Podcast. I'm Joe Rosengarten, and in this special three-part series, I'm joined by the legendary advisor and investor and CEO of financial planning firm Mandeville, Michael Lee Chin. In this, part one, Michael and I discuss the key challenges facing advisors, sales pressures at the big banks, and where he sees opportunities for advisors moving forward.
So firstly, Michael, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the Wealth Professional Podcast. It's really exciting to have you on.
I'm really excited to be here.
Good. And I want to speak about some of the challenges and opportunities that are facing financial advisors right now. And I think you're better positioned than anyone to really talk on that issue. So there's been a lot of talk about this being a challenging period for advisors. How do you assess the landscape for advisors right now, and how the landscape has changed in the past 10 years or so?
Well, it has changed phenomenally. In fact, if you do business as an advisor today, as you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you're going to be totally irrelevant. So why? Because number one, commoditization of our industry. Most any product that an advisor can buy, that an advisor is selling, can be bought on the internet for a lesser price. So that doesn't make for a great business. Secondly, at a time when information is so ubiquitous and the needs of clients are more so today because we are in a much more complex world, advisors are becoming more irrelevant. But, and that is just counterintuitive. But if we as advisors focused on what clients really need, which is the opportunity to create wealth, it's singular. Or the maximum value we can give to a client is to behave in such a way that is going to be wealth creating for advisors, for clients. So commoditization of the industry is a big problem. And hence, what are we doing to really deliver an antidote to commoditization as advisors? Secondly, we operate in a regulatory environment that's very, very prescriptive. The prescription is general. So I think what is needed is more education from advisors to clients, because we're very formulaic right now, and we have to be formulaic because we are heavily regulated, and regulators work basically on formulas. There's no one size fit all. Thirdly, the products that we are selling to clients invariably are not wealth creating. Fourthly, there is an allergic reaction, for whatever reason, to clients owning private securities in their portfolio. Yet still, everybody who created wealth started off owning a private business. Everybody who created wealth. And only the most successful business get promoted to the public markets. And once they become a public company, actually the profile of the company becomes totally different from when it was private in the wealth creating stage. So there are many factors afoot, including asset allocation. Your typical client would have in his or her portfolio 100% publicly traded securities. Therefore, your typical client is missing out on the opportunity to take advantage of the illiquidity discount. Additionally, most advisors don't have access to quality privates which, as I said earlier, will not only take advantage of the liquidity discount, but will also be, if you have quality assets, that's where growth comes from. So overall, our direction is becoming more and more useless and irrelevant from the client's perspective. And all we have to do is simply look at CPP as an example, or Ontario Teachers, and look at how their portfolios are constructed. And that should give us guidance. Yet still, we are at the opposite end of that. Your typical CPP, your typical public pension portfolio, would be a combination of public and private securities. Advisors, we sell only public primarily. So there are a lot of issues that we have to face, and we have to really start a conversation and come to some solution, or else we'll go the way of the dodo. In addition to that, margin is a margin grind. ETFs are setting the pace. ETFs are now are being given away for free. So when you look at all of those issues, we are a challenged industry in terms of relevance.
There were so many interesting points that you mentioned there. And I wanted to pick up on the point you mentioned about so many portfolios being invested fully in public markets. I mean, you articulated about the CPP very clearly there, and it's well documented why private investments are so important. So why is it that so many of these portfolios are still 100% in public investments?
Well, firstly, there's a perception that investing in private securities is more risky. There's a perception. But let's just spend a few seconds on that. For when I buy a publicly traded security, I am basing my decision on the information that is given to me by the IR department, Investor Relations Department. And I don't have the opportunity really to go into the company and diligence emails, diligence lawsuits, diligence the budget, interview management as freely as I do when I'm purchasing a private business. When I'm purchasing a private business, the entire data room is open to me. I can go and summons emails. I can go and look at all the legal cases outstanding. I can look at the budget. I can look at board memoranda, et cetera, et cetera. So if we make better decisions by having more information, I'm saying we get more information when we diligence a private business than what is fed to us through the IR department in terms of your publicly traded securities.
So another hot topic in the advisor community recently has been an issue around advisors who work for some of the big banks and the sales pressures they're under, and particularly the pressure to sell those proprietary products. What's your view on that situation?
Well, at the end of the day, every business will have to recognize at some point that if you want to be long-term sustainable as a professional, as a business, there are three things we have to do. We have to every day be concerned about our reputation. We have to behave in such a way that our actions are accretive to a better reputation. Secondly, every business will be long-term sustainable only if it is differentiated in the marketplace. And thirdly, most importantly, every business has to recognize that at the end of the day, the client's needs should come first. So if our behavior is to maximize profits for the company, it may be at the opposite end of the spectrum in the short run to what clients' needs are. Conversely, if we put clients first and say, okay, I am here to bring all my experience, my wisdom, my access to solve clients' needs. That attitude will always, in the long run, keep us on the right side of clients. That is what we try to do at Mandeville. We are, because when I sold Berkshire and AIC, I could have gone off and have a beautiful life. But I saw a dysfunctional, I grew up in an industry that I'm not proud of by virtue of clients' expectations and what it is we are delivering. So I came back to start a business, Mandeville, Portland, that is true and honest and make promises that we are living by in terms of the client is front and center, and clients' needs for wealth creation is the imperative.
Well, it's truly been a time of evolution for the industry, and we've spoken about some of the key challenges that have occurred. But where do you see the opportunities for financial advisors right now?
Okay. The opportunities are boundless today, simply because, as I said earlier, at a point in time today, when the world is most complex, client situations are difficult. Clients need help, but the advisor community is becoming more irrelevant. That doesn't make any sense. In other words, what it is telling us is that we're totally off the mark. The opportunity really is to be relevant to clients' affairs. And client, it's very simple. Clients want to create wealth. So if we don't, as advisors and as firms, do not have a wealth-creating methodology that we can articulate, a framework, if we don't teach that framework to clients and then execute in a manner that their portfolio is reflective of the framework, of which framework relevant to wealth creating. And thirdly, if we don't give clients access to products no different from what CPP has access to, then we are, as I said, we're becoming irrelevant. Conversely, if we give clients a framework as to how to become wealthy. Secondly, if we give clients access, no different from the access that CPP has in terms of quality, public and private, then because we are a commoditized industry, we will be completely differentiated if we behave in such a way, because nobody else is doing it. Every portfolio today is a composite of 100% publicly traded securities, whereby no one has ever created wealth by doing that. You look at Berkshire Hathaway's portfolio. It's a portfolio of public and private securities. You look at CPP, you look at Ontario Teachers. So why is it that your typical retail investor, their portfolio is 100% public and 100% liquid? There's no need for that, because no one at any point in time needs 100% liquidity. No one.
So you mentioned the commoditization of the industry, and also about the advisors taking on that role of the educator.
Yes.
How important do you think advisors shifting to that sort of role will be in the years to come?
Well, it has to start with the firms. The firms have to start taking the approach that we need to train advisors in terms of what the focus really should be, which is wealth creation for clients. And when I started my career in 1977, when I had a cold call, and when you cold call, you're appreciative of when someone says, yes, come and see me. So I'd always ask myself the question, what is the highest value I can give to this family tonight at their kitchen table? And the answer came back to me, Mike, make them wealthy. Oh, is there a formula that if you practice consistently, the only outcome is wealth? So that was my nut to crack in 1977. And I did crack it. Yes, there is a formula. Because if you think about how wealthy people became wealthy, here's what you'll see. Here are the five things that they did. Number one, they own a few high-quality businesses. Secondly, they make sure that those businesses they understand them. Thirdly, those few businesses that they understand are in strong long-term growth industries. Fourthly, they use other people's money prudently to create wealth. And fifthly, their attitude towards ownership is to simply hold these businesses for as long as they remain good businesses. So those are the five things that every wealthy person has done to have created wealth. So doesn't it make sense that if wealth is created by in the real world by adhering to those five principles, doesn't it make sense that portfolios of clients should reflect those principles? Very few portfolios do. So what I did, I decided to dedicate my life to the promotion of those principles. And the best way to promote is lead by example. So, you know, when one look at Michael Leachin today, they say, wow, how the hell did this guy go from being a mutual fund salesman to being the only advisor in the world on the Forbes billionaires list? How is that possible? Well, it's possible simply because I had a framework and I just went through the five laws with you. And I was so committed to the framework that it compelled me to lead by example, to practice what I preach, because I'd feel like a hypocrite if I didn't. And over time, compound, if you do the right things, compounding will take care of you over time. We'll recall that you cannot create wealth. Firstly, Albert Einstein said, the eighth wonder of the world is compounding. You can't create wealth if you violate the future value formula, which is FV, the future value of money, wealth in the future, is equal to PV, how much money I've working for you today, to compound, times 1 plus the rate of return to the nth power, n is time. So we have to create wealth, we have to maximize PV, maximize the amount of money working for us today, right? And again, even in our industry, there is it's like there's an allergic reaction to leverage, which is maximizing PV. But one cannot create wealth unless you maximize PV, which is leveraging. So the education then should be, how do we teach clients to be prudent use, to use leverage prudently? You cannot create wealth unless you maximize the second variable, which is R, which is the rate of return. And you do that by taking advantage of the illiquidity discount, because there's a premium for liquidity, which most, if clients knew what that premium was, they would say, they would shun liquidity. And thirdly, the third variable is time. We have to start as soon as possible to get the compounding effect working for us.
Look out for the next episode of the Wealth Professional Podcast, which is part two of my discussion with Michael Leachin.